Have you been watching MasterChef Australia? Well, you're one of a million or so of us who've been transfixed watching on as amateur cooks vie to be MasterChef. And the program's reportedly responsible for a renaissance of home cooking. And it's even catching the attention of children, especially young boys who've watched the show and are now mounting coups on their parents' kitchen, creating three-tiered mousse cakes and other such things. And as you can hear from that little grab of the show, is, you know, if that's what it's like to be in the kitchen with drums and cymbals and ominous voiceovers, or is cooking for 120 people nerve-wracking enough? Joining us this morning is Mark Aegis, who's Deputy Manager of Culinary and Food Processing at Victoria's William Angus Institute of TAFE, where many budding chefs do their training. And we're also joined by professional chef and author Matt Clark. He joins us from our Perth studio. So welcome to Life Matters, Mark and Matt.
Morning, gents.
Good morning. Good morning. Look, Matt, I'll start with you, because as a professional chef, you're not quite as enamoured of the program, I think, as many Australians are. In fact, you wrote quite a scathing critique of it when it first began. What was it that bothered you so much?
I did write just at the start of MasterChef, I did write a rather dramatic criticism of it, but I think it's a great program to draw attention to our industry, and it may even encourage people to look beyond their standard choices when dining out. But I think what MasterChef is doing is casting a shadow over our industry and making the life of a chef look like a walk in the park, maybe even making it look more than what it really is.
Yes, is it because it's called MasterChef? Like, if it was called Good Amateur Cooks, Give It a Go, it might be, you wouldn't find it so offensive?
I think so. I'm speaking for a lot of chefs as well. I think the word chef is something that you work hard for, and to get these house cooks basically coming in and doing a crash course in cooking and then going on to work in some of Australia's top restaurants while bringing out a book within 3 months, I think it just doesn't happen that easy.
You feel it sort of demeans what you've been through. Because I know that someone like, you know, look on ABC television, like Maggie Beer, now she'll never call herself a chef, even though she's a wonderful cook. And I know that Stefano De Pieri, who had that ABC TV series many years ago, he absolutely will not be called a chef. He says he's a cook. So what is it that makes a cook into a chef? What's the difference?
A chef goes through a four-year apprenticeship. I think it's 3 years now. They go through an immense amount of training through TAFE and do their time. They start off, they go in for their first 3 months and probably work the dishwasher. And then until you can prove that you can organise the dishwasher, you probably get to do salads or something like that. It's not like walking straight into a kitchen, doing these magnificent dishes and then cooking for celebrity chefs and then going on to work in great restaurants. It's something you start off at rock bottom and then work your way through, and you work really hard to do it. You put a lot of passion, a lot of energy and everything into doing it. It's not something you finish at 5 o'clock and then go home and switch off and watch TV. It's something you go home, you think about it, you go to bed, you dream about it, you wake up in the morning, you think, I'm going to go into work an early hour the next day because just to put a special on or to learn something different. It's about reading up and looking on the internet, looking for recipes, and basically you breathe cooking. It's not a lifestyle decision, it's something that you are and something you do.
Now, I could bring Mark in here, Mark Aegis, who's Deputy Manager of Culinary and Food Processing at Victoria's William Angus Institute of TAFE. Now, Mark, you obviously train a lot of chefs. Now, what's your reaction to programs like MasterChef?
Look, it's got a lot of people talking. I think it's very optimistic in that way. I can look what Maggie Beers and obviously Mr. De Pieri is correct. I mean, when we offer the course at William Angus, it's actually a Cert 3 in hospitality commercial cookery. Now, it's a chef's course, if you want to call it that, but the qualification you get is a commercial cook's course. But, look, you know, it's got everyone talking. We've had ample inquiries about, you know, cook's course at William Angus. You know, and so it's getting the a lot of education part out there. So it's definitely stirred a lot of pots with a lot of people. We had a competition there at William Angus, and a lot of people were talking about it. And we did something very similar to what they actually do on MasterChef. So it's... Look, it's positive. As Matt was saying, it's if we can get people inspired back into the industry, this will help. But obviously, I wouldn't use the word master chef. I think there could have been some other better word. But
except it's good for TV, isn't it?
It's good for TV. Look, it sells. You know, it sells. But master, well, I'm 20 years, 25 years in the industry. I'm yet to meet a full master chef. But look, it's a big title to hold as a reputation.
Especially after 3 months of a television program.
Well, that is correct, yes.
So, and Mark, you've got a course, I think, designed for, you know, clueless blokes who can't cook. What's that about?
Jeez. Well, look, basically what it is, we have a lot of short courses and obviously a lot of accredited courses at the TAFE, and they can do a short course where they can go to the Victoria market, buy the produce, come to school. But it's really important about buying the produce. I mean, like Matt said in Alvretti's article, it's about looking at the facets of the food, how you can explore the management of your food and, you know, costing. And then what happens is they come into the kitchen, do some basic skills, and they learn the task from them. Because obviously we know that some blokes are great hot in the kitchen in the industry, but at home it's the other way around. So, but the course does work well. We've had a lot of interest. But, you know, we get a lot of phone calls from people and industry about the program or about the industry in itself. So it's been good.
It's been good. So, Matt, talk to me a little bit about how you got into being a chef. You know, what's the process? You talked a little bit about it before, but you obviously wanted to be a chef from a very early age.
Yeah, most definitely. I cooked at home from a real young age and was inspired by my mother, basically, and just went on to... I started my apprenticeship in a pub and it went on from there, basically. I said goodbye to my social life and relationships and everything and started my 10 to 12-hour days, 6 days a week, and it hasn't really stopped from there. But it was just something that I had a lot of passion for from the beginning and just continued. I just kept researching ideas and going around to places, and I'd even work for free in certain areas. Like, I'd go to a good restaurant and say, do you mind if I come in for service or something and stand there and watch you guys and learn something and you do that on your day off. So,
and what sort of money is there in that industry? Obviously, you'd probably start off not too high, and you'd get higher as you go up through the scales. Is that how it works?
Yeah, most definitely. You start off. Well, when I started my apprenticeship, I was on $6 an hour. Lucky I was living at home still. And it doesn't get much better through your apprenticeship. I think by the time you hit fourth, third, I think is about $12, and then it might have changed by now. But then fourth isn't much more than that. But if you put in the hard yards at the beginning and you don't worry about money, I mean, you never do it for the money. It's for the love of the food and the passion and what you want to do. You don't go into being a chef and say, I want to earn $1 million. You know, it's not going to work that way. But you put in the hard yards, and 10 years down the track, you will reap the rewards.
And I suppose the problem with MasterChef, although it's a problem with all television, is it gives these people such an amazing leg up. I mean, at the end of last night's show, Justine, who was booted out, and there was an awful lot of weeping going on the screen from everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a very pretty girl, and her eyes fill up with tears, and it's gorgeous. But, you know, Matt Moran from a famous Sydney restaurant wanders in and sort of offers her a mentorship. Now, obviously, it's not going to happen to a lot of people in the industry, is it?
No, there'll be thousands, you know, tens of thousands of people that would love that opportunity to come their way, and they've worked hard for the last 4 or 5 years, and they'd love to go and work for a guy like that. And then to see this happen for someone in 3 months, it's probably a bit heartbreaking to those people.
That's right. So, Mark, when you train young chefs or cooks, they come out of your course at TAFE, what do you tell them about the industry and how hard it might be?
Look, I mean, The thing is, it's a journey, it's a pathway. It's really important that they look at it as an investment for the future. So it's really important that they do their training, do their 3 years of their training, and get through. And then, but you know, we really encourage them to take it in as a sponge. Ask many questions. I mean, some chefs have been around the industry for a long time. You know, work around, get some experience. Like Matt was saying, you might need to go into another restaurant, do some extra hours, learn, and put yourself forward. I mean, it's really important that you must put yourself forward. If you stay back and wait for things to come to you, they will never happen in this industry. But if you go searching for those things, you educate yourself. We're very lucky now, we've got the internet. Find up some recipes and TV and a lot of media press. The information is there at your fingertips, but... You know, unfortunately, we have a high rate of attrition in our industry, and that's one of our biggest objectives right now is trying to keep students and obviously chefs in the industry.
So they're leaving. Why is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they leave. Look, it's you know, who wants to be doing start at 9 a.m, finish at midnight? It's tough. It's difficult, and you know, you're doing it 5, maybe 6 days a week. You got to be passionate. You got to show that keenness, and that, you know, it's going to be your career for the rest of your life. You know, sometimes your mates are out going the footy, and unfortunately you're there at work. So some people, unfortunately, don't cut the crust and say, look, I've done it for 3 months. I saw it on TV. Yeah. Oh, it's not what I thought it was. Out I go. So that's where sometimes those programs give a bit of a negative effect to the industry.
Matt, what do you think is going to happen to some of these people on MasterChef? I mean, obviously they've got some skills, and they probably learn, and you know, if they were doing one of Mark's courses or working with you. But do you think they'll have a problem because they've become television celebrities, and they'll go back into a kitchen where other chefs are going to look down their nose at them, or they'll be told to dice carrots in a corner? What's going to happen to them, do you think?
I think you will get a bit of that look down the nose at them. It might be a bit, people might see it as a bit threatening when they come into the kitchen. They think they know everything already because they've been on TV and they've met all these people, and they'll go in and see how a kitchen really works. And I think they'll have to take a few steps backwards. And I think the right thing to do is to get them to dice a few carrots and onions up and start at the bottom where everyone else has to start. Just because they've gone into this show and cooked some amazing dishes, you know, it's... You don't get to do that at the start of your apprenticeship. As I was saying before, you go and you do 6 months of washing dishes until you prove yourself. So I think they need to probably do that as well.
And Mark, I mean, is there anything in the kitchen that's quite as stressful as what they've gone through? I mean, surely having a whole lot of television cameras, 2 hours, you don't know what your ingredients are, you're making it up. I mean, obviously that's what's presented to us in an edited television version, but is it ever as stressful as that? I mean, they would have been through some pretty stressful things on that program, wouldn't they?
Yeah, look, there's a bit of stress on the TV, but, I mean, you've got to get there out there in the industry. If you got a 200-seat restaurant and, you know, the dockets are coming in, you're doing 3, 4, 5 dishes at once, and obviously we teach the students and to multi-skill themselves. You know, doing 2 or 3 items in front of you, that's nothing. You've got to get in there. It's about working as a team. It's really important. And there's nothing better than having a busy restaurant, dockets coming in, food going out, and those plates coming back absolutely empty. It's a good sign. But look, you know, it's look. How can I say it's you can cut the knife with a knife in the air. So it's vibrant. It's happening. You can feel the tension in the kitchen. But you know, it's a great feeling walking out at the end of a shift, and you've had a great knife, and it's gone so smooth. And you know, you come back the next day and you start all over again.
Yeah, it's about doing it every day, not just
every day,
not just every Saturday or something. Yeah.
Well, you've both inspired me now, and I tell you what, I always love to send back my plate so clean, you know, wiped down with bread, absolutely spotless. Mm-hmm. So that must give you a great deal of satisfaction when you get that sort of plate.
That's how we actually look. You know, we judge by the comments that come back from the waiters, but look, you know, the plates come back nice and empty. That's a positive sign.
Well, I'm going to keep on doing it. Thanks so much for talking to us. That's Matt Clark, professional chef, and Mark Ages, culinary and food processing at the William Angus Institute of TAFE. It's a very long title. Thanks to you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Guy.
This is Life Matters on Radio National, and in a moment we're going to be hearing the story of a former Queensland cop and hear his experience of staying straight cop amidst crime and corruption. But next we meet two Russian brides and their husbands.